Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
I know you will absolutely enjoy this conversation as we meet our friends from Ascend Erie. They literally walked across the street. We have Alex Bernstein. He is the Stein. Sorry. I had it in my brain and I still said it wrong. Alex Bernstein, he's the CEO of Ascend. And welcome, Alex. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Joel.
And we've got Chris Rosado Jr. He is the general manager of Ascend Erie. Chris, welcome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
All righty. Let's start with origin stories. We're a family show here. We'll start with you, Alex. How did you come up? Are you Pittsburgh born and bred, or did you transplant in and all that, you know?
Pittsburgh born and raised. Am I close enough?
Yeah, you're great. Right, yeah, awesome. I'll turn you up a little bit.
Pittsburgh born and raised. So Erie is not home for me. Yeah, it's sure. Now kind of a second home, which is awesome. Let's see. This goes back. I won't be too long-winded, but over 15 years ago at this point, my sister was living out in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I got to visit her with my parents, and we got to check out a couple of climbing gyms out there that were enormous in comparison to what Pittsburgh had.
You know what's so crazy about this, Alex? Maybe we talked about this at your ribbon cutting, but that movie, the Princess Diaries, where that's what the family did was climb walls in San Francisco. It makes you wonder, like, how much Hollywood in real life comes together. Did you even know about that movie?
Yes. My wife loves, I always call those like 90s rom-coms, but a pretty big genre in our household. And every time we watch that, we also remember that the reality of climbing never matches what is in movies and TV shows.
Okay.
Like, as a climber, you see climbing in a movie and you're like, oh my God, that person is they're going to die. The belayer is not doing the correct things. Like,
oh, wow. Really?
So yeah. I remember the first time I saw that scene, I was like, this is something's awry.
But but there was definitely a pretty big vibe of San Francisco climbing gyms.
Yeah. They, out west, you know, Denver has always had, that area has always had a ton of climbing. I mean, originally climbing gyms were built because climbers who climb on real rock outside need a place to train when it's raining, when it's, you know, too cold or too hot. And, you know, it's not like Pittsburgh is surrounded by mountains in the same sense that, you know, you got Yosemite Valley, you've got all of the range, you know, the multiple ranges near Denver.
Yes.
And so, you know, Pittsburgh had one of the first climbing gyms in the country, surprisingly. But you know, it never, it didn't modernize over the next 25 years in the way that we, or almost 30 years, that we as newer climbers wanted to see.
Okay.
So we visited some really cool gyms out in California, and I came back specifically with my mom, and we said, hey, let's put a business plan together. Let's find some buildings. Let's do this.
Had your family been kind of in the sports slash entertainment space? No. What did you guys grow up doing, or what did your folks do?
Were not outdoorsy people.
Okay.
I don't know where I got that.
I mean, were they businessy people though, or?
My dad's a bankruptcy lawyer, okay, which is boring. Okay. But
yes, he knows about failing business.
He sure does. Yeah. He also taught me a lot about how the bankruptcy code helps entrepreneurs take risks, young folks like us with a sand, right? We don't have to talk about
we're going to keep it all positive here, but yeah.
No, wow. I did not get the outdoors gene from my parents, really. A friend introduced me to climbing when I was a freshman in college. And I think like most people that give climbing a shot, you get addicted pretty quickly.
Wow.
And if your friends are doing it, you give it a shot. So I got the bug pretty early on, and at some point, my other partner, so I've got two partners, kind of main operating partners, Paul and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I approached Paul in 2011 and said, "Hey man, let's open a climbing gym."
Wow.
And it took 6 years for us to get the first location open, and then almost 7 years after that, we opened up a Sandiri after.
This is really new. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we're talking about in 13 years, you entered this business and now, you've got multiple locations, including a brand new location in Erie opened 6 months ago or less.
And yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's incredible. How about you, Chris? How did you come up?
Yeah, so I actually am originally from Southern California.
Okay.
So not originally from Erie either, but I moved here about 6 years ago. And loved it. Moved here, never left, never wanted to leave.
What brought you here?
School, originally. Okay. And so I was actually climbing when I was in college. That's how I got introduced. A friend told me, hey, we're going to go climbing. I've been terrified of heights most of my life, but I wanted to hang out with my friend. And so went to go climb, and you just get, you get the bug. It's got that mental and physical challenge that excites you, and you overcome a little bit of that challenge, both against yourself and against the wall, which is really exciting. So started in college, and then after...
Did your school have its own gym or its own wall in like the student union or whatever?
Yeah. So when I moved here, I was going to Edinburgh, and they actually have a small rock wall there. Yeah. And so I was climbing there while I was attending, and then after graduating... didn't really climb a whole lot. Went through a dry spell with not a lot of gyms in the area. And then kind of really got back into it recently in anticipation of the gym opening up here.
Yeah.
And now I have kind of the best job in the world from a rock climber's perspective.
Yes. that's amazing. So I want you guys to talk about, because both of you kind of indicated that You had that climbing experience, but no place to use it. Would you say, as you were looking at maybe doing your data for Erie, that you could point to dormant climbers, or are there national statistics that you could imprint locally saying, hey, at any given time, 8% of the population have climbed, have done rock climbing or something like that?
Somebody in our industry might refute this, but there's really not that good of data out there for this. What I can say is that, a city and a region over a certain population size, and I think the Erie metro area is like a million people, I want to say 900-some
thousand.
You'd
have to go really far.
Yeah,
out,
or maybe not metro, but,
the metro itself is about 280,000.
Gotcha. Yeah. We've often said... 45-minute driving radius is like the acceptable, what we think a member might be willing to tolerate.
Gotcha.
And I think within 45 minutes of here, which it's only a semicircle because there's a lake just north
the
of us.
The fish don't generally climb unless they're going up the brook to
the salmon
spawn.
Ladders. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
there are enough people in this region to easily justify a climbing gym.
Yeah.
Our members do stretch across the both borders into that western New York area and the eastern Ohio area as well.
Would you say an analog to a climbing gym would be like a ski resort that people are willing to go even an hour to to buy a lift ticket and spend the day?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's it is a destination. We've always used that term. And I think, you know, the reality is that it's not inexpensive to build a climbing gym. Mm-hmm. It's way different than, you know, a typical fitness gym in terms of that startup expense. And honestly, the professional expertise required to set the climbs on the walls, that's not an easy skill to acquire. And so this is pretty specialized. And, you know, we're not in the business of just putting a gym anywhere. There are some baseline kind of metrics that we need to meet. And Erie, this is a very cool town. This is an awesome town that just, I don't know why it's not on more Pennsylvanians' radar. Like this is, there's a beach in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yep.
And this area, just truly anybody in the world, I think would benefit from climbing. And so we as a company are trying to bring access to rock climbing. It's done wonders for me. I think Chris is a better person for it. And so ultimately, you know, that access is very important to us. And Erie deserve something like this.
Yeah. When you talk about the differences between like a rock climbing gym and a traditional fitness gym as well, you know, if you travel to a different city and you find a gym to work out in, you kind of know what to expect. It's all the similar equipment. You're going to do your own thing there. With a rock climbing gym, you may have one in your own city, but you might travel an hour or two out to go to a different gym that has a different setting philosophy, different features inside the gym. Mm-hmm. So it really does become a destination, not just for people who don't have that gym, you know, immediately in their city, but even for people who regularly climb at their own gym, they might still take that trip just as you would for like a ski resort or something like that, where those different slopes are different depending on where you're at.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about how Ascend comes to Erie. So were you being courted by the EDDC, or did you have on like a master plan, you put a pin on Erie? Talk about how this marriage happened here.
I wish we had some sort of the opposite of evil lair where we're putting pins on maps and, you know, coming up with our plan. Erie was not
Morgantown.
They had a gym that did not survive, unfortunately.
Really? Even with that big college there.
Wow. Yeah, we could for another day. You know, ultimately the EDDC did approach us in 2019. I mean, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And at the time we actually said, we know of a guy up in Erie, David Bonner, who is now on our team and, you know, had invested in Ascend, and we partnered up with. He was working on a project called Climb Erie. And he was not able to get that off the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, building a climbing gym is not a small task, and I commend David for sticking with it. You know, ultimately he wasn't able to pull that off, but early on we said to EDDC, you know, buy local, go work with David. We're, mm-hmm. you know, keep us in the loop. But if somebody local can, you know, get this thing off the ground, please go that route. Ultimately, you know, we teamed up with David. We, you know, learned of the plan for this building and got to develop the plan really with EDDC. And so we got to have a seat at the table pretty early on. To, you know, help have a stake here. And
is this the only build to suit space for Ascend?
Yeah, our typical motto is, if there's an asset that we can help repurpose, like an older structure, you know, why tear something down?
Like a big Butler building or something like that.
We're in an old brewery on the south side in Pittsburgh. We're in an old warehouse in Point Breeze in Pittsburgh. And that sort of marriage of old and new and being able, you know, sustainability is always on our minds. If we can do our part in a small way and reuse these cool assets, awesome. I don't think anybody is too broken up about an older fast food restaurant being removed in favor of some apartments and a really neat recreational amenity. So we were really excited to do this.
Across the way, kind of giving us a little bit of shade, is this brand new 4 or 5 story building here. It's Fifth in State. They call it Fifth Southwest, or actually Fifth Northwest, or Fifth in State anyway. It is the home of Ascend Erie. And with us here is Alex Bernstein. Yes. And Chris Rosato Jr. Love Alex it. Is the CEO of Ascend. That's the kind of the global corporate. And Chris is the general manager locally here. So we talked about how EDDC made an outreach, and I want you to talk about the concept of why a downtown works for, you know, basically a sports destination facility like Ascend.
Well, first of all, and you know, somebody from around here might beg to differ, but I do look at downtown Erie as the heart of this area.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as you've got some hot spots outside of downtown where there's, you know, some big box stores and lots of other amenities, you know, this is the core. And I think in an area that didn't have climbing before, you got to start as central as possible and make sure that you are accessible and activating all the segments of the population. So downtown was obvious to us.
Right.
Also, EDDC is building a ton of residential units around here. And obviously we're, you know, a couple years beyond the start of the pandemic.
Right.
You know, Erie Insurance is back to work. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of activity down here. Hammett is right up the street. And for those folks, we now open at 5 a.m. So if a hospital worker and you've got a 7 a.m. shift, we're available to you at 5 a.m. See how I did that?
That was fantastic. talk about basically the physical attributes. I mean, why is this a good workout? Because you also have a lot of regular kind of gym implements in there. You have ellipticals and you have treadmills and things like that. But why is the climbing a pretty cool workout?
I think one of the most important aspects of it is that people who come climb for the first time, the most common impression is, wow, that was a really good workout and it didn't feel like a workout once.
Wow.
It's fun, right? And it's an easy task to wrap your head around of, there's a wall, I'm going to go climb it. It's kind of like everyone's nature when they're 5 years old, up to, you know, 105 years old. And so it's really important to have those activities that don't feel as hard mentally to get up and get ready for. But what the gym has, obviously, is we have three different climbing areas, unique areas for all types and skills of climbers, all the way down to beginners, and all the way up to advanced climbers as well. But we also have a yoga studio with a full yoga schedule with sometimes multiple classes per day all throughout the week. And we have a fitness area as well that does have most equipment you could need in a gym outside of like very specialized, you know, targeted cable machines. But if you want to use Ascend Erie as your gym, and some people do, you know, it's a gym where you can also rock climb every once in a while, or it's your yoga studio where you can work out and rock climb if you want. The most common use, obviously, is it's a rock climbing gym where I'm going to get this secret workout in, like trick my body into working out all the time. And then maybe sometimes I'll hop on a treadmill or take a yoga class and really round myself out in a way that doesn't feel as intimidating as a traditional gym might.
Talk about, like, specifically muscle groups and things that are worked in a typical climbing workout.
Everything.
I mean, is it a core deal? Is it?
Oh yeah.
Is it upper body? I mean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of the things.
Okay,
and
all of the things.
What I was going to add to what Chris was saying is that, you know, it is this all-encompassing sport where you have to mentally solve a problem. I mean, you're looking at the climb before you go up, so that you're working that brain muscle. You know, there's this hand-eye coordination aspect because you have to, you know, reach and grab holds in a certain way. You're working your legs because your legs are so much stronger than your upper body. And so you're trying to use your core to keep your legs into the wall. I mean, it's everything, hands, wrists. It's great for, you know, if you're verging on carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, gripping a big hold opens up all those bones in your wrist. But what I was going to add to what Chris was saying is that the mental aspect of climbing, like, there have been studies done about the antidepressive nature of bouldering, that you have to be so focused on what you're doing that you're almost meditating while you're up there. And so, you know, not only are you releasing these awesome, you know, various things in your body and whatnot, you know,
like hormonally,
yeah, like hormone, exactly.
You're releasing endorphins or whatever,
for sure. But yeah, there's some words that, you know, I'm not right. a scientist or right. a doctor, but you know, there are massive benefits from climbing that just go beyond I'm getting a workout. You do need to, you know, the best climbers in the world supplement their climbing with actually training in the workout sure. area. But you know, you can get in pretty good shape, just climbing casually a couple of times a week.
I had a friend of mine that is in the upper age groups. I mean, still younger than me, but like not much. Right. And I'm in my 60s and he, you know, he's telling me, oh yeah, we spent the Sunday at the climbing gym. It was a blast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, are you up for this? You know, yeah.
This is the beauty. One of the beauties of climbing is that on the same wall. So you brought up skiing earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a beginner skier, you are not skiing beside a world-class skier. Like a green slope next to a double black diamond. I mean, they're separate parts of the mountain. Mm-hmm. You can be on a climb on that wall as a total beginner, climbing next to somebody who's on one of the hardest problems in the gym. And you guys are working on, you know, essentially the same terrain. And so you get to experience this, you know, as a newer climber, you get to watch people doing this sport right in front of your eyes. And it's also lifelong because it's not really that aggressive on your body. So you end up, you know, most of our older climbers end up on the ropes. I don't mean on the ropes, but like, you know, climbing
right.
on the ropes.
Right, right.
Which we also, when does Over the Mountain Club meet up?
We're starting up our clubs now. We're deciding on club schedules and everything.
In Pittsburgh, we have a group called OTM, Over the Mountain, and it's for our senior climbers. And so they meet up, I think, you know, at least once a month on weekend mornings. But it truly is for everybody.
And we hear a lot of people, like when we go out and talk about rock climbing, a lot of people say, well, okay, but that's great for you, but I probably could never do that. And really, you know, what I always love to say is that if you can climb a ladder, we have stuff you can climb. We have routes that are as simple as climbing a ladder. And if you think about what it takes to climb a ladder, there are people who can climb a ladder well into old age. You know, sure. As long as you are relatively physically sound, you definitely have stuff you can climb. And then we can start to push it and see how far into it you can get.
So I want to bring up a point that I've talked to Drew Whiting about, who is the CEO of the Erie Downtown Development Corporation, and the concept that downtowns are changing. Richard Florida presented this at the Jefferson Educational Society this fall, that downtowns are a place of connection, and that at any given point in some downtowns, you could have 60% of the people there are visitors. And so I want you to talk about downtown. We kind of alluded to that before, but downtowns is a meeting place. Downtowns getting activated for activity. Can you talk about that, Alex?
Sure. I mean, I definitely don't have you know, a ton of experience with the data around downtowns, but at least for us as a climbing facility, first and foremost, we're also a third space and we're a community hub. And our goal is to create a safe, welcoming space for anybody, but especially folks who want to do fitness or fitness-adjacent things and yoga and climbing. We have a ton of youth programming as well, so it's very family-friendly. But this is, you know, we've talked about it being a destination, so we are bringing people to this area who are not necessarily from here or like from downtown.
Right.
At the same time, you know, this is an incredible amenity for people who do live downtown or work downtown or want to visit downtown. I don't know. I think we benefit, honestly, from everything that the EDDC has been doing in terms of bringing people to downtown. Mm-hmm. I also think we're on the, you know, the helpful end of that as well, as being a component to, you know, bring new faces to downtown who may not have otherwise, you know, chosen to do so. So, you know, I think there's a lot of diversity down here just in terms of, you know, people and whatnot. It's cool to be part of that fabric and not just be, you know, a big box out in the suburbs with a parking lot.
Chris, before this gig, you were at the Erie Sports Commission. Mm-hmm. Again, the whole idea of the Sports Commission is monetizing sporting events and analyzing the economic impact of sports. And so with that expertise in mind here, what's the potential that you see on a sheer sports marketing level of an asset like Ascend Erie?
Yeah, I mean, there's two elements of it. Erie Sports Commission and Visit Erie as a whole. The general idea is promoting Erie as a destination. And then, of course, trying to quantify the impact of people coming to visit. So there's really two aspects of that for something like this rock climbing gym. The first is something that we kind of touched on already, which is people coming from out of town or outside of the area to come climb here. And what we see all the time is, especially if you're making that 1-2 hour drive, maybe even longer, you're going to stay and climb for a number of hours, especially if you are an experienced climber. Most experienced climbers don't show up to a gym and only climb for an hour. They stay for a large portion of the day. And what are you going to do in between sends? You're going to want to go eat. And so there's tons of places to eat down here. Or if you're looking for entertainment options, there's lots to do. And so that's part of the benefit for the downtown area of having this asset here, is it's something that brings people in that then they will do other things while they're here. And then the alternative is also true. People will come in for a show at the Warner or a game, maybe come in early and climb first, or go eat at the food hall and then see that there's a rock climbing gym next door. And so all of that kind of feeds into that economic impact of a gym.
I'm thinking of like the families that come, let's say, for Stars and Stripes for the gymnastics gigs, right? Yep. And I don't know how that weekend was for you.
The Backstrom was a big weekend for us.
Well, for the hockey deal?
Yes, the Sarah Backstrom Memorial Girls Tournament. We had multiple teams, like whole teams, come in.
The families that are Jason that are waiting for the next game, but the teams themselves came to climb.
The teams and the families all come to climb together.
Oh, that's slick.
That's massive. Yeah, that's big.
Oh my gosh.
Gymnasts like climbing as well. Yep. So that's always a big, you know, a big connection.
Yeah.
And I was just going to add that, you know, two things. One, it's part of being downtown to me, and the excitement that I know there's still more to come. There's going to be a grocery store half a block away from us. There's a food hall with multiple food options. There's universities. There's businesses. This is like a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. And if I lived close by and I had this membership, I could pick up my groceries when I'm done climbing and head home, or pick up dinner over at the food hall. Like, this is really amazing what's going on here. On top of that local aspect, I mean, we host competitions at our gyms that are anything from, you know, a local bouldering competition that is geared towards our community up here in Erie. Mm-hmm. At the same time, USA Climbing, who's the governing body of climbing competitions, we host regional competitions that bring people from as far as Indiana. I think our region is Indiana to central Pennsylvania. And so in Pittsburgh, we've hosted people from Michigan, from Ohio, from Indiana, from West Virginia, parts of Pennsylvania. Like, it's a big draw. So, you know, we intend to do a lot of that stuff up here, obviously within reason, but, you know, it's exciting to be able to, you know, show off Erie through that lens. And we're working on some hotel partnerships and whatnot to create some weekend opportunities as well. We've had a bunch of Pittsburghers say, "Hey, what hotel should I stay at? Where should I grab dinner? I'm going up for the weekend." So, you know, we're really trying to kind of harness that energy and get people to come up here and spend a day at Ascend, go to Presque Isle, do all the other things, go get some chocolate, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so is there an actual like tour or is there a tournament structure that maybe Erie can be a part of, much like we are in some of these other, you know, wrestling and cheer and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I need to pinch myself that we opened 5 months ago, right? Like,
right.
It feels like we've been up here for forever, so I don't want to get, you know, too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, the seasons for these climbing events, we're kind of just missing out on the first two.
Okay.
So I think next year is going to bring, you know, quite a bit of new changes over there in terms of what we host, when we host it. But we want to make this place, you know, as busy as possible.
And people want to compete here too. I mean, we have, you know, quite a tall wall.
I was going to say, this is the tallest wall that you have in the chain, right?
Correct. Yep.
And you made it that tall for a purpose. That it is a competition level wall. Is that correct?
Sure.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm trying to understand your ecosystem, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, as a climber, I want 100-foot tall wall. As a, you know, as a business owner, I also understand the economics of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to like look behind the curtain too much, but EDDC said, well, we can either take, you know, the floor out from the second floor or the third floor. Like, you know, there was a point at which they were like, it's either 38 or 52. And we said, well, then 52. So some of it just happened
it's
by
all
chance.
All four
but,
floors, basically.
Yep, yeah. Yeah. It's, you notice how high you are when you're up there.
Yeah. 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 Air's a little thinner.
Well, it's interesting too. Somebody's writing, and you don't have to worry about falling. Mm-hmm. I mean, the beauty of the ropes and the pulleys and the counterweights. I mean, there's no one that's you don't drop. It's all this systematic safety.
Yeah, I mean, there's risk involved, right? Something I don't want to say. Climbing is dangerous, right? Bouldering, which doesn't involve ropes. You know, you're 10 feet off the ground over this big padded flooring system. And our insurance company would hate if I ever said it's totally safe because, you know, you can roll an ankle. Anything can happen.
Sure.
But it's our job, truly, from the moment you walk in the door, we're there to guide you through those initial steps and either, you know, teach you what's going on or double check your proficiency so that, you know, we know you and your partner are going to be safe on the rope wall. But we do want this, you know, we don't want you to have to worry about safety while you're in there beyond just the, you know, the standard stuff that climbers do, double checking each other's knots and harnesses and things like that. So yeah, we're, you know, we're not trying to make it too easy so that you know, let your guard down,
right.
But you know, that we have world-class equipment in there that is, you know, designed to be as safe as possible.
All right. So let's talk about, starting from scratch. I'm, you know, a guy like me, totally uninitiated. You don't want me to go out and spend $300 on equipment, right? So talk to me. I present myself. What do you suggest to that brand newbie that, hey, this looks interesting. I want to get a workout.
The best thing to do is come into the gym. You can come in anytime, any day that we are opening, day and time, and we will give you a tour. Mm-hmm. We will show you around, introduce you to the risk factors and how we mitigate them in our gym. And you don't have to be a member. We offer day passes, and we offer, you know, intermediate between a day pass and a monthly membership, like punch passes where you can buy a bunch of them and get a discount. So there's a very low entry level of you could just get a day pass, try it for the day. Your shoes and chalk are free, which is all you need to get started for that first day. And we introduce you to everything you need to know. Similarly, with something like yoga, right? We offer different programming elements. If you really want to try yoga and you're not really sure whether it's for you or whether the membership might be worth it because of that, we offer once a month something called Big Free Yoga, usually the third Saturday of every month, but this month it'll be on the 23rd of March. You come out on a Saturday morning. It's totally free. You don't have to have a day pass. You don't have to be a member, anything like that. Just come in, sign a waiver, and try out a Big Free Yoga class. So we offer all of these really entry-level points to getting into our sport of climbing, to get into yoga, get into fitness, whatever works for you. But you can really come into the gym off the street, no appointment necessary, no prep necessary. We'll get you climbing. Again, your first time, your shoes and chalk are free, which is all you need to get started. So you don't need to go out and invest in any equipment. Just wear clothes you can move around in.
And we, there is one program we offer called Climbing 101, which is a 4-week program. Mm-hmm. And that's way more in depth. And if you're hooked after that first time,
right,
you come in, but you want to take it to, you know, ratchet up a little bit faster than just doing it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing 101 is a great way to do that. Just wear comfy clothes, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris said anybody can come in off the street, but you might not be so comfortable climbing in that outfit.
Yes,
little athletic clothing.
The dockers will not work. So and then at what level do you like? You know what? I want my own shoes, or I want my own. What is it? The pack for the chalk, or what are some of the? What's the basic gear that people bring themselves? You know,
I would highly recommend, you know, get your toes wet. We've got rental gear for a purpose,
right.
But you know, our rental shoes are not that comfortable at the end of the day. I mean, they're meant for durability and
it's
not
like
for
bowling shoes kind of thing, you know?
Totally.
Yep.
And so early on, especially if you're getting into it, shoes and a chalk bag. I mean, for, I would say, less than $100, you could be outfitted to come in any day and boulder. And now you have shoes that are going to fit better, that are going to feel better on the wall. You've got your own chalk bag.
And you have a pro shop now, right?
Yeah, we do. We've got retail shops in all of our locations.
Okay. So,
and members get 10% off in our retail store.
Our staff can answer all your questions about what kind of equipment might be better for you. You can try on things. And, you know, even if you come in and we talk to you about the type of shoe that might work for you, if that's not a shoe that we have, that's cool too. We just want to get you the best equipment that works for you so that you come and enjoy your time at the gym.
At what point do people say, okay, I'm like totally into this. Now I want to go maybe to the Laurel Highlands or go into the Allegheny Mountains and, you know, go through some of the, you know, the crevices and things. Do you find that it leads to really outdoor climbing?
Oh yeah.
Bouldering, especially around here, I guess.
I mean, this is the, you know, I joked during the break that this is kind of a pyramid scheme. I mean, this is, you know, somebody you know in the gym is going climbing outside at some point to the New River Gorge or the Red River Gorge or McConnell's Mill, you name it.
Yeah.
And they're going to let you tag along and teach you the ropes outside. That happens all the time. And that's awesome. That's how I learned to climb outside. Somebody said, hey, you want to come climb outside with me? We also do offer a guiding service. And so we will take folks to specifically McConnell's Mill and Cooper's Rock in northern West Virginia.
Okay.
So if you want to experience, you know, real rock under appropriate supervision and, you know, with knowledgeable guides, that's something we do have in place to satiate that hunger.
Let's grab a phone call. Hey, caller, you're live with our friends from Ascend Erie.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, my son's a big mountain climber. He climbs the Tetons and stuff like that, and he's going to love it when he comes to visit us. He's in Washington State now.
Awesome.
He comes here every now and again, and he's been always saying, oh, you guys should build a climbing gym around here. So he'll love it when he comes.
Job
I just
done.
Wanted to say, you know, you were just talking. Job done. You were talking about places to go. My son took us once. We went out to Virginia out there. Nelson's Rocks, I think, is what rings my bell or something. But
yeah, that's in Maryland, I think.
If you want to really climb somewhere after you've learned to climb a little bit and be really safe, this place here, they strap you on your harness and they strap you on a stainless steel cable that wraps you around a mountain over a bridge. I mean, you know, a rope bridge. It's crazy, but you are so safe and it's so much fun. And again, you know, once you get down to your place and kind of get used to it before you go out and say, I'm going to go climb a mountain. There's a lot more to it than just climb the mountain. But this will really open your eyes when you go there. It was really a fun time. So,
awesome.
I appreciate it.
People out there. Hey, enjoy your day.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's about building that affinity and then just can go anywhere here.
Yeah, that's he was mentioning what's called Via Ferrata, where that's like the safest form of kind of mountain climbing, where you are on these like steel cable systems, and it's pretty cool. So this does open, you know, once you're comfortable in a climbing gym, you know, you're going to be a bit more comfortable on, you know, steeper hikes and Via Ferrata and climbing outdoors.
I grew up really having a fear of heights. Does that seem to kick in? Talk about that, Chris. I mean, did you just release that after several, or is it still there?
Well, so the background is I was the kid who grew up and would go to like an amusement park that had those, you know, recreational walls. And I would get about 10 feet up and then look down, and I couldn't even let go of the wall.
Even in a harness, the whole shoe match.
Yeah, terrified. And so my entry point was bouldering. So in bouldering, you never climb higher than about 10, 15 feet, depending on the wall or route. You're not attached to a rope, but you're never falling further than that amount. And so it was a little more, you can go up a little bit and fall and go up a little bit more and fall. And so for me, that was a really good entry point. I still definitely have those moments, you know, when I'm on the 52 foot high wall. A year ago, I would have told you there's no chance I'm climbing a 52 foot high wall. I really, what kind of pushed me into doing it was working at the rock climbing gym and, you know, wanting to gain that experience. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't entirely go away, the fear, but you learn ways to manage it. And really, for me, it's just getting on the wall. The fear is what kind of prevents you from getting on the wall, but it gets easier to get on the wall. And once you're there, then I just hit a point where I'm like, well, I got to come down eventually. I might as well get to the top.
And a healthy, I'm sure you've seen, you know, there's a famous climber, Alex Honnold, who without ropes or any protection climbed up some of the biggest, you know,
is
rock faces in Yosemite.
Is that the one that did Yosemite? Yeah.
Exactly.
That was an amazing documentary.
He can turn that off.
He just turns it off.
I think most climbers, I mean, I've always said to myself, the day that I lose my fear of heights mm-hmm. is the day I should probably stop climbing because yep. I'm going to do something unsafe. When I get to the top of a 100-foot climb, climbing outdoors, my hands are sweatier than you could imagine. I'm triple-checking everything to make sure mm-hmm. that when I'm getting lowered, everything's great. Like, yeah. It's healthy.
Yeah.
But to Chris's point, I mean, it gets the more you do it, the easier it gets, and the funner it gets.
Yeah. One of our favorite movies at the house is Failure to Launch. There's a scene of them, of Bradley Cooper climbing, and he gets bit, or actually, I think it's Matthew McConaughey gets bit by some kind of lizard. He sticks his finger into a crevice and stuff. I mean, it's just hilarious, but you know, the one dude is not doing the counterweights and he just falls, and it's just fun.
Yeah, that's another example of a movie that I've seen multiple times in our household, and where I've thought during that scene, they didn't consult a climber.
It's not best practice.
No, definitely not.
All right, hey, we're down to our last minute or so with our friends from Ascend Erie. If people want to find out more, where can they go on the web, and who should they talk to at the gym there?
Ascendclimbing.com. Our price, any bit of information you can imagine is on the website. What's our phone number, Chris?
Our phone number is 582-228-9035. Feel free to call in. Our staff can help you out. We have a contact form on our website. All sorts of different contact forms. If there's specific programs you're interested in, we offer climbing classes. We also have youth programming, like summer camps that we'll be offering throughout the summer. So if you take your kid one time and they love it, and we've got a summer camp for you. Or if you love rock climbing and you want to get your kid into our little quote-unquote pyramid scheme, trick them into it with a fun little summer camp. So all of the information on all of our programming, ascendclimbing.com.
I just saw one of our neighbors from upstairs come in, and she had climbed all through college, and now she's here and just is now probably one of your regular customers because, again, a town like Erie, where we're growing and people are moving in for Erie Insurance or for the universities yep. or for the hospitals, yep. this is an asset that it's kind of like our town has put on their big boy pants. I mean, it's super legitimate as mm-hmm. as a world class kind of destination.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to be part of this movement. I mean, we can't take real credit for any of this. I mean, EDDC, what Erie Insurance has done. I mean, there are some big stakeholders around here that have just said, we're going to make Erie the best version of itself possible. And we certainly wouldn't be here without those folks. But just the Erie community as well, being ready for this and open to it and ready to invest in it. I mean, there's something special going on up here.
Alex Bernstein, the CEO, Chris Rosado Jr., the general manager, Ascend Erie. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from talkerie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.